Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Well, hello, everybody. Thursday, time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast featuring Golden Tonsils Reddings. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Please get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Gamble responsibly and call the Gamblers Helpline on 1800 858 858. Well, boys, flexible and agile are the key terms. And we are, as we speak, the AFL is in the process of being flexible and agile with round 11.
Well, it's about as clear as a sunny Manchester afternoon, Duff, with what's going to happen this
weekend. Is there such a thing as a sunny Manchester afternoon?
That's how unclear it is.
And I was there a couple of years ago, I can tell you, in February, there's not much sunshine and there's not a lot in the AFL at the moment. And it's, look, we're all, and you can only imagine, we're talking footy here, but Victorians, you have to feel for what they're going through on so many levels, and not the least of which is just their freedom to walk around with some degree of ability to go from place to place. So I feel sorry for the Victorians, what they're about to go through, another lockdown. It's just a question now. We know there's changes that have been made, Duff, and Quarters. How tough is this going to be for the AFL to get this round completed?
So I think they can get through this round somehow if they want to make enough changes. It's going to be going forward. It gets more and more complicated, doesn't it? So Quarters, and please, listeners, bear in mind, this is a pre-record. So some of this may be – this is moving so quickly, this situation. Some of this may be out of date by the time you get ears on it. But Quarters, as we speak, what is the situation as far as round 11 goes?
Well, the good news – for the two local clubs is Port Adelaide has been – they're negative. So they've tested negative. There was obviously a concern with a punter on the flight with them who'd been in the exposure site at the MCG. Negative. So that game can go ahead v Freo at Adelaide Oval. Essendon, negative this morning. They obviously got out of Melbourne early. They're over here. So that game against the Eagles going ahead Saturday night, good news. Melbourne v the Dogs. Now, we know the Dogs had a staff member who was at an exposure site. They went into isolation for 3 days. A Melbourne player has been now proven to be at a tier one exposure site. So the Melbourne players, as of this morning, are in self-isolation. They're being tested as we speak. And as we speak, Melbourne's, for the last couple of hours, has been negotiating with the AFL about what happens. We've got a big game tomorrow night at Marvel, 1v2, Dogs v Melbourne. And we're just not sure. If they all come up negative tomorrow morning, there's a chance the game can go ahead tomorrow night.
Why wouldn't it go ahead? Like, I've been through the process and the testing, I got my test back that same day, a negative test. So that being the case, if Melbourne tests negative and the Bulldogs, given what we've just heard from you, Quarters, without crowds, mind you, why wouldn't it go ahead?
Yes, exactly. So we would think it would without crowds. So 7-day lockdown for Melbourne, no crowds. The other game they're talking about is Richmond v Adelaide at the MCG on Sunday. Now, they're talking about moving that to Giants Stadium. So you could play that in front of a crowd at Giants Stadium, provided Richmond's negative. So it's all it's all over the shop. Hawthorn Gold Coast is the other game. Was going to be moved. Was going to be a bye round now that Northern Territory has closed its borders to Victoria. But they're now trying to get that game ahead. So I think they're trying to get the fixture ahead.
So Hawthorn Gold Coast, given they can't get into the Northern Territory, where is that likely to be played, do you think?
It's a good question, isn't it? And you know, that's the most extraordinary thing about this weekend's footy is that the Northern Territory have been very relaxed about it, and obviously they've had no cases. So the fact that they've put the hammer down.
Well, we were actually third or fourth. So traditionally we've been a bit of an outlier in terms of how quickly Premier McGowan has shut the borders. But I thought Premier McGowan was very measured. The state government was very measured in what they did this time. And basically, you know, if you're coming now, you need special exemptions to get in from Victoria, and you have to get tested and isolate for 2 weeks and get tested on the first and 11th days of your isolation. Mm. If you've been there since May 16 but got in before the hard border, you have to isolate until you return a negative test. So I think they've been pretty
bit more measured. Flexible, and good to see on compassionate grounds people are allowed to get back in too,
and look,
subject to testing.
Looking ahead with, and I've mentioned it to you both before the podcast, with the season itself, we know there's a couple of bye weeks coming up, so certain clubs, or every club, will have a break at some point. So that does that give the AFL some flexibility? And then, of course, pre-finals is that week that has been set aside to freshen players up and teams up. Surely that now has an added advantage of using that as the final round, or using it in some capacity to complete this season.
Yeah, I think so. Look, the only thing I'll say is it is the Sir Douglas Nicholls round. It goes over 2 weeks. If they have to move next weekend, we assume they get this weekend away and next weekend is vulnerable, and they have the flexibility to move it. But I would think that they'd be loath to move it being the second round. We've got Dreamtime at the G, which could be Dreamtime at the Bird's Nest if it moves. There's talk of hubs and there's talk of Perth being one, Essendon remaining. So it's a possibility that we could have the Dreamtime at the G here.
I think the problem's going to be now is getting teams in.
Yep, true.
Because we now have a hard border in place.
Yes.
Western Bulldogs were due to come here to play Fremantle in round 12. Barring a dramatic turnaround in Victoria, it's hard to see that happening. I wonder whether I like Skeet's idea. I wonder whether we should have a general bye next week, give Victoria an extra week, an extra 7 days to get this sorted and get it under control, and then hopefully there'll be freer border movement and everything just goes back.
And you've got that week at the end of the home and away season that you had originally planned for other issues. But look, I think and Duff, you're not sure about why the AFL has taken so long to get clubs out of Melbourne.
I understand there's 10 clubs in Victoria and there's 8 clubs elsewhere. But I think if the boot's on the other foot, West Coast and Fremantle would have been stashed on a plane immediately.
Well, that's easier in logically, isn't it? Just to get the two clubs in the West, particularly given Mark McGowan's situation and his stance. So I think it's a bit more problematical in Victoria.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you can get the players and staff of 10 clubs. I reckon you can get them out.
They can't go to Queensland.
Why did they get Essendon out so quickly?
Well, I think they were concerned about what Premier McGowan.
Sure, but if you can get Essendon on a plane, you can get the rest on a plane. Now, what? I think,
because we went to bed on Tuesday night,
we did,
and Essendon were flying as normal.
And we knew there was an issue pending.
We woke up on Wednesday morning and they were flying that morning. So they can make these decisions quickly.
So why did they not send Hawthorn?
That's a very good question.
Well, Hawthorn,
To me, they've magnified the potential for disruption. I mean, these clubs are not going to be able to train properly, which means that we're going to get to a point a week further down the track where those clubs are going to say to the rest of the competition, if we can't train, you can't train.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have that.
Yeah, and then let's go to shorter quarters, perhaps.
You know, to me, they've left themselves open to this because they've dilly-dallied. The minute this started to go from, what did it go from, 1 to 5 to 9, you had to be thinking, we've got to get out of here. You had to be thinking that then.
Yeah, I think so. Given what we've been through, the body of evidence we have from last year, given we know how quickly this moves, this is an Indian strain. I agree with you, Duff. I think I'm a little surprised at the dilly-dallying given what we've been through. Maybe we got a little bit complacent. If things were going okay, flowing pretty smoothly, maybe we got a little bit complacent and this is where we find ourselves now.
And I think the governments have gotten so much better at dealing with this. And maybe the AFL has greater confidence that the governments will get a handle on this very quickly. And we go hard quickly now. And so hopefully that those measures in Victoria work. And hopefully in 7 days' time, we're starting to emerge from.
Well, their tracing is so good now.
Yeah.
So that we have a fair bit more confidence there.
There's not a lot of confidence in Victoria, I can tell you, looking at social media. And this frustration from all types. I've seen Dane Swan saying there's NBA basketball at Madison Square Garden with fans. And well, here we are. There's frustration, and I get it. And there's no point saying, you know, we're there for you. They hate that. They want to get back to – they want their quarantine system sorted out. Again, it's veering away from footy, but there's a large degree of angst in Victoria about why they're back to where they were.
Close to home too, because my dad, God love him, he's due to come over here in a couple of weeks, so he's stressed about that. But as I said to Dad, one thing we haven't got much control over is how COVID spreads. So no point stressing. You'll get over here when the time is right, and we're not going anywhere. So there's a lot of that going on. You've got to, as you said earlier, I really feel for my home state of Victoria and everyone. They're going through a fair bit.
And if we could send a message to all our listeners, as Premier McGowan said in his press conference today, the way out of this pandemic is getting vaccinated.
Yep.
Quarters, you're...
I'm up today.
Going this afternoon.
I'm Tuesday.
Yes.
Which is, you know what it means, though, as Josh claps, we're over 50. so we're in the basket of AstraZeneca. Here we come.
Well, I was Monday, so I had mine on Monday. And
you're a little weary for a day or two.
A little doughy on Tuesday.
Well, I thought it was normal behaviour, Duff, but anyway.
And fine today. So,
and look, the responsible thing to do. Glad you're up for
I'm
Tuesday,
bored.
And I'm up for today. So I'll let you know when you see me getting carried out. Late. No, I'm only joking.
A little pricking away you go.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Now, almost in the background to all this, Carlton have decided to appeal the Lachie Plowman suspension. So that's going back to the tribunal this afternoon. I presume that's going to be held via Zoom or something like that. We talked about this the other day. This one is absolute line ball, I reckon, because...
Was it a mark? Was it a spoil?
We got it right though, Quarters, when we talked about those other cases, didn't we?
We did.
Right. We matched what the tribunal decision was, whether that's right or not, but we certainly were on the same page.
That's not necessarily a good sign.
I'm actually reasonably comfortable with all three verdicts. I could have gone either way with Plowman.
Yep.
And I think I think we're all in agreements. We were happy that he got off that. Look, good on you, Carlton. Have a crack, see where you go. I don't see it going anywhere. Interestingly, he's out anyway. He's injured, Plowman. So he wouldn't have played.
So you wonder why?
Oh, why just bother? Well, just a bit of foot stamping,
principle.
I think. Bit of foot stamping going on, but go for it.
You can, when you watch it in slow motion, you can see him trying to get the fist out there to spoil.
Okay.
But he's also kind of bracing for contact at the same time. So.
Yeah, look, I mean, and you know what probably nails him to the cross a little bit is great photo, wasn't it?
Yep.
Great photo taken of the impact.
Yeah.
One of the better photos I've seen this year, actually, is a ripper. Sorry that Jager got injured in the process, but and I think he'll probably be out this week. But
the Shea Bolton photo.
I was going to say, we talked about that. The Shea Bolton Specky? At the MCG taken by...
Michael Wilson, I think.
Yes, I think it was. So
two Michael kudos. Wilsons taking photos at AFL level. Of course, we have our Michael Wilson. And
Son of
Ray Wilson.
Yes, which I only found out the other day. G'day, Ray, if you're listening out there, Willow.
The great man. He used to stand at Mick Malthouse press conferences with his arm around the back with his little tape recorder and all the TV cameras, of course, in front of Mick. And there's
Willow
just asked the questions. I think he's lived in Italy for what it's worth for a while.
He's back home. He's just doing a lot of fishing.
He can fish. He could fish for Australia and comfortably medal at any Olympics that the fishing was an event in.
Hey, you know what?
He would.
I reckon I can get nine this weekend, pending all things going, but we need to get Friday night sorted.
You reckon you can get nine?
Well,
you
know, if we can get Friday sorted, that means I'm going to get three.
It means you're doing a lap around this deck with your pants down. That's what it means. You're getting donuts, mate. When you come out with a statement like that,
I think we'll all get nine, provided... Well, you've got to be on the same page for tomorrow night's game. Should it go ahead?
We do our tips on the proviso that their current fixture standing as current fixturing stands. Of course, it can all change.
That's right. So let's have a crack. So as it stands, Western Bulldogs versus Melbourne Friday night, presumably at an empty Marvel Stadium.
Presumably,
it will be.
Skeet?
No, I've tossed and turned on this. If this game was at the MCG, I really thought that Melbourne would be in this game up to their eyeballs. I just think the Bulldogs, they've got a couple of outs, mind you. Don't get me wrong. They've got a couple of big outs, but I just love their midfield. I just think they do enough right. Their record at Marvel's terrific. I'm tipping them, and I think they can win.
Treloar out now. with Dunkley. So just dilates a little bit, but still bats very, very deep. 111-point win over St Kilda last week. As you would expect, not much footy in the St Kilda forward line, but only 8 scores conceded from 42 entries. So we've always talked about that Western Bulldogs defence, but I mean, that's a pretty solid defence.
Yeah, you got the Bond, you got McRae. You talk about their midfield, it's just amazing. McRae's...
I didn't mind the Melbourne loss. I think if you're going to have a loss, that was the good one to have. It was a gallant loss. I can make a case for them, but I'm with you. Marvel Stadium, I'm picking the Dogs.
So the Western Bulldogs are $1.66 with Tab Touch. Melbourne are $2.20 outsiders. I think I'm going to pick Melbourne. I think I just want to have an argument with you about this quarter.
Okay.
I think you challenged me to pick the D's, and I've decided, yep.
No, I didn't challenge you. I said, who
bugger it,
picking?
I'm going to pick the D's.
And I think if you're doing your chipping and you're not sure I wouldn't be discounting you or putting you off your tip.
So I like the fact that Melbourne is finding different ways to win games. I don't mind the loss. I think they obviously went deepest into this season than any other team without a loss. I think you've got to have a loss at some stage, otherwise it just becomes that weight that drags teams down. So I believe they'll be pretty robust around the ball. I still have one small question mark about the Dogs, and that is when the pressure gets dialed up high enough, like Richmond were able to a couple of weeks ago, that high possession, high handball, you know, throw the ball around a lot, that sort of game, what happens to that then? And I think Melbourne can dial the pressure up.
And you know what? And conversely, if the pressure is dialed up against Melbourne, you have more trust in them, I think, given the ball spends time in their inside 50, in the opposition's inside 50. You like their defence, don't you? So I see where you're coming from. I just like the Dogs at Marvel.
And good. And then really, any team that wins by 100 points, I know St Kilda were putrid, but any team that wins by 100 points
111.
To tip against them the next week, gee, in my world, you think, well, I'm trusting the team that's had a massive win.
Or triple Nelson, is it an omen?
Umpire Shepherd.
All right, so 2 Doggies, 1 Demons out of that game. Collingwood versus Geelong somewhere. Geelong at $1.28 with Tab Touch. Collingwood at $3.70. The Pies better with Taylor Adams back in the midfield last week, but can you see them troubling the Cats?
Can't kick a score quarters. That's their issue, let's be honest.
You know what? No, I can't. I'm picking Geelong. But I tell you what, have a crack at the line here. 22. Yep. Have a crack at the line, because I think the underdog has covered the line 9 out of the last 10 in these games, and I can just see Geelong's been getting the job done, but not overwhelmingly convincingly. And I just, Collingwood, you're right about the scores. Better, they look better with more back, but Majacek, I think he's hadn't kicked one for 2 weeks. So they've got to find a way. Geelong I'd confidently predict, but I don't think it'll be a huge margin.
How would you like playing in that Collingwood forward line?
It's been tough, hasn't it?
I reckon there's a worse forward line.
What, your boys?
Oh, yeah. I'd be kicking at the goal.
Can I see the ball?
At least for a chance to catch it.
Now, I liked what Collingwood did last week, to be honest with you. I mean, they had the jump on Port Adelaide. They got beaten by a point. Port were down a bit. But there were signs there that Buckley hasn't lost his team, and they're not playing finals.
True.
They've got issues off the field. Mind you, Nathan Buckley's got a smile on his face at the moment. I found out why, and they're all sundry the week.
Yeah. I saw the photo. So he's doing a lap of the tan with company.
With company, yes. Duff, if you missed that, it's probably worth no wonder he's got
anyone,
a smile.
Anyone, have a look on
a smirk on his face. It's it's just part of the evolution of a coach. When you're under the pump, go around the tan and see if you can solve some problems. That's exactly what he did.
Yes.
They won't be winning, but I think I agree with Cordis here. I think they can be competitive again. And Geelong, apart from that game against Richmond, they've just done what they've had to do.
And no Duncan, and possibly no Guthrie.
Yeah, Guthrie's in doubt.
Yeah.
So they're pretty
massive.
You could argue that Cam Guthrie has been their best player over the last 2 years, and Mitch Duncan obviously is their best ball user. The definitive bit of footage on Collingwood, though, is when they were trailing Port Adelaide late in the game last week, and they got the ball into the back end of the square to Jordan Dugowie. So the ball's in the hands of a highly skilled player. It's inside the square. That is the go zone for every other AFL club now, with the man on the mark rule. From there, you go.
Mm.
And they went sideways.
Yeah.
And that just sums them up.
Yeah.
And eventually Noble turned the ball over, and I think it was Powell Pepper kicked the goal that iced the game for Port Adelaide.
No confidence in their forward line. And I guess that's the same with Hawthorn and clubs that are.
You've just got to have confidence, particularly at that stage. What can you lose?
Yeah, no,
you, the game's in the balance. Have a crack. You've got to have a crack at that point.
And the other thing, Quarters, is that if you've got a forward line that doesn't have dominant figures, if you don't have Josh Kennedy, Jack Darling, Oscar Allen, or you don't have, what's the doggy's three-headed monster, Josh Bruce, Tim English, and Norton. Aaron Norton. If you don't have them, go quick, get the defence backpedaling, get them turned around, get them feeling uncomfortable, and Mychek will give you a contest every day of the week.
And a chaos ball.
Get at his feet.
That can work more often than not.
All right, so we're all on the Cats.
We are.
Brisbane versus GWS. Brisbane are $1.23 and just going beautifully with Tab Touch. GWS $4.20, and I have to say, going all right.
Won their last 14 out of their past 16 at the Gabba. Dominated clearances against the Tigers, who are a little bit down in the midfield. Numbers missing, we know that. What worries me about GWS, and I've got to say, they're the most impressive team over the last 4 or 5 weeks, given the players who are missing and the brand they have produced. They've been fantastic to watch. So they'll give a good account of themselves. But I think Sam Taylor's out.
That's now a big out, massive
so
out.
Another big out. You're talking about a forward line, you know, Danaher, Hipwood, McStay, Cameron, and a midfield that likes to get on, you know, likes to get on top. So I think you can pretty confidently predict Brisbane here, but I think it won't be one-way traffic.
You know how you talk about Sam Taylor? So Xavier Ellis picks his team of the week in our newspaper and on our website. He's had Sam Taylor as just about a fixture in defence over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
He's unheralded, isn't he?
That's how well he's going. I remember Greg Harding raving about him when he was at Swan Districts, and he seemed very impressive in his first year, but he's gone next level since then.
So is this you do get to a point where effort is everything, but there's a tipping point, isn't there? And they've just been decimated, GWS. And we hope, because we've been so impressed with what they and Liam Cameron have been able to do, we hope it continues, but there's got to be a point where it just gets too hard.
Yeah, look, we have seen them over the past month, as you said, and the win against the Eagles, they should have beaten Richmond. They're doing a lot right. They're, what are they, $4 to win that game, and probably that's the price they are, but they're playing better than that.
I'll tell you what.
They're playing better.
There's a couple of $4 bets this round, and there's one coming up next, but I'd have a crack at that.
But yeah, you look at Brisbane's midfield. I mean, Daniel Rich, down back, he's playing some beautiful footy. Hugh McCluggage, now we talk about Brownlow possibilities.
Lions.
He is absolutely.
Lions too, as well. McCluggage was great last week.
McCluggage's been great for a long, big part of this season. So with that in mind, their forward line, Charlie Cameron's hitting the scoreboard.
I didn't mention Zach Bailey either, did I?
Or Brandon Starcevic.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got a few in pretty good nick.
Yeah. And also young, they've got time on their side. They're young. So that's the beauty of this Brisbane side. You have to tip Brisbane, but the Giants are a team that have been very impressive over the last month, and I'd be fascinated to see how they go up there.
All right, Brisbane for all of us, I think. St Kilda versus North Melbourne. Saturday afternoon, St Kilda at $1.23. I don't know why, because apparently they're not any good until next year.
That's right, as their
president told us during the week. North Melbourne at $4.20 with Tab Touch. So St Kilda have had a fire lit under them this week, and so they should have. The president appears to be on a different page to the football manager, who appears to be on a different page to the coach, and I don't think the players are in the same library.
There must be some fire lighters and some petrol on that fire, because it's been lit for a while.
Do they win?
They beat up on lowly teams,
which they did against Hawthorn.
So you could mount a case that this will be the same. And I think that's disappointing that they can't replicate that against decent teams. This is the other game. North Melbourne at $4.20. I'm going to pick St Kilda, but only because against a side that you'd think is reasonable, I don't think they can kick a winning score. But 4.20, I'd have a nibble at that with North.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think the Giants are at that same price, a better possibility of winning.
Really?
I just think that North Melbourne, you know what, the numbers say it all. They beat Hawthorn, but what are they? They've lost
a big 72 points last week to Essendon, who you'd think they would get to within 30, 40.
Lost 17 of their past 18 games. And you just have to keep going on those numbers. They're getting better, don't get me wrong, and Noble's doing a noble job.
So clog up the guts, which is where St Kilda likes to play the footy. Clog up the guts. That's their best chance, and make it frustrating for St Kilda. And you know what? They've been under the pump. If you just put the doubt in their minds, the Roos can do that.
Yep, and Ben Cunnington's still getting a lot of the footy. I mean, he's averaging 30 touches in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So they've got claims, but I just think you're right. I think they are the ultimate flat track bullies when it comes to winning against lowly teams.
What do you? We talked about this a bit on Tuesday, but what do you make of the messaging coming out? You've got Brett Ratton speaking, you've got Simon Lethlean speaking, you've got Andrew Bassett speaking, they're all saying different things.
When it says our window really is next year, not this year, if I'm sitting at home on my couch on my St Kilda play, I'm thinking? I've got an out. Yeah. I've got an out this year. I'll go through the motions, but we're not playing finals. I've got a bit of an out. If I really need to go for that hard pill, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go into self-preservation, rack up a few for the rest of the year. I'm really disappointed in St Kilda. I think they're the most disappointing team in it.
And St Kilda is...
And the messaging was crap, sorry, just to have...
Historically, St Kilda's management, and we always talk about the front office, and in American parlance, the front office is, if you get that right, then that's where the rest of the success comes from. They have struggled historically to get their administration right. And you can go over the past 3 or 4 decades, and they have just managed to shoot themselves in the foot. Now, they've got some capable footy people in there. Simon Lethlean, obviously... through the AFL system, very knowledgeable. But again, they've found ways to give their players
and themselves, by the way,
a little out clause.
So I didn't mind what Ratton said, because Ratton's a coach who's bitterly disappointed with the way they've played. I didn't even mind what Lethlean said, because basically I think he was trying to take a bit of the heat out of it. Mm. What Bassett said I found bizarre. They put the third oldest team on the deck. Mm. Last weekend. You cannot put the third oldest team out in the deck and say, oh, we're not in our premiership window yet. Paddy Ryder has been an absolutely super player, but he's old and he's getting older. Hanbury
won't get there. He's been a disastrous trade for them.
Hanbury?
Absolutely. Mm. Hasn't been on the park.
There's others. Zach Jones is not an immature player. They've got a lot of – Gresham is a super young player, but has had massive injuries over the last 2 years. So, do they get him back? What sort of nick does he come back in? Jack Billings is the same age as Marcus Bontempelli, same draft. Had the misfortune to be drafted the pick before Marcus Bontempelli. So he will forever be subjected to those comparisons. And don't get me wrong, Jack Billings has been a good player.
Serviceable, yeah.
Yeah. But Marcus Bontempelli is – the superstar that Marcus Bontempelli is.
So maybe St Kilda is, as I've kept saying ad nauseum for a year or two now, maybe there's too many B players, not enough A grade.
And you'd rather lose with draftees, kids coming through, that you can see something in the future. Half the players mentioned by us here, they've got, 2-3 years left maximum?
I've got Steele, some of them. I've got Marshall and King will be. And A-graders. I'm looking beyond that, who are their A graders?
Yeah, no, I think Gresham's a very good player.
Okay, and you have him as an A-grader?
Yeah, I do, okay. Potential A-grader. I just think
right now, is he?
He's injured, and he's going to probably miss the rest of the year. So, but I do like him as a player. And they've got some honest types. I think Billings is nearly there. Like, Billings took 60 shots at goal 1 year, which is a lot for a midfielder forward. So I think he can get there, but he's not consistently there.
Yep.
Josh, are you...
There's some breaking news, guys.
Yes.
This is from Braden Quatermain, our esteemed journalist and twin brother of Quarters next to me. Mm-hmm. Triple Premiership powerhouse Richmond appear to be set to move to the Perth Hub. To Hub in Perth, setting a showpiece Dreamtime match with Essendon at Optus Stadium next Saturday night.
Wow, that's big news.
That is big news for the West Australian Understands. The Tigers have been told to prepare to fly directly to Perth following the match against Adelaide this weekend, which will likely be played at Giants Stadium on Sunday. The Bombers are already in Perth ahead of Saturday night's game against Fremantle and could remain there for several weeks.
Forecast on this podcast about 15 minutes ago, so we bring you the news first.
All right, well, I think that's a really exciting development for Western Australia, and I hope the West Australians get behind that match.
Absolutely they will.
It's a marquee game. The things we could do with that match with our stadium, and with the roof being lit up in Indigenous colours.
As it is now, that Saturday night is clear. With the Dockers supposed to be hosting the Bulldogs on the Sunday afternoon. Is that correct? It's a long weekend as well in Perth, correct? So you're right.
You know what?
A final is big in Perth. Having the Dreamtime game between those two clubs, with all due respects to the footy we had during the Hub last year, Collingwood versus Geelong, Carlton v Hawthorn, This is the biggest occasion we will get in WA outside of a final, in my opinion.
Two very big supporter bases in Western Australia, Essendon and Richmond. Let's actually, WA footy followers, let's show the AFL and the WA government what we could have done in last year's grand final. Let's light up that precinct. Let's show them what we've got, which is considerable.
And obviously border issues pending. Get the Stephen Michael. Get Nicky Wimmer. Get any – the Indigenous heritage we've got here is extraordinary. Barry Cable, you go through it. Peter Matera. Let's make something of this which has a WA flavour to it. That would be terrific.
Stephen Michael on the front bar tonight?
Absolutely. And some tales of his past, including he's been shot, he's been in car accidents. He's done a fair bit in his life.
I remember when I first moved to Perth, I went down to the Collie Mine and interviewed him while he did a couple of loads in a 100-tonner. It was a very interesting interview.
So my first season of senior football at West Arthur, Stephen Michael came to watch West Arthur play Pingelly.
Are you going to sanitise this story?
Yes, I am, heavily.
And you were all laying a few good hip and shoulders that day, I bet.
No. Actually, it was early in the season. We hadn't had rain. The ground was like granite. I think Nicky Winmar was running around for Pingelly, so he was in the other team. And South Fremantle, we were in their zone. So Stephen Michael was part of the group of South Fremantle players that came down. They used to come down to one or two games every year. They'd hand out a bag for the best player after the game. And our coach, Mike Chanel, decided to get Stephen to address our team at halftime. And with expletives deleted, Stephen's message to us was, "You blokes have got me stuffed. At South Fremantle, we handball to get out of trouble. You blokes," he might have referred to us as something else, "handball to get into trouble." That was the wisdom we benefited from Stephen Michael at halftime. We went out, we won the game by 4 points.
What was the score at halftime?
I think we were just down, actually. Okay. I think we were. It was only a goal or two in it. It was a very much a line ball game.
Fair to call it a fairly blunt way to go about thing, or blunt message from him?
It was one of the more blunt halftime addresses I have received. Do you know, I went to a funeral of an old school friend, just a farmer. They had the farm over the back of us at Darkin, Dennis Coucher, great bloke, strong country family. They're kind of distant relatives of mine in some way or other. And turned up at Williams at the funeral. This is late last year. And there is WA football royalty sitting down the front, Stephen Michael, and came up and said g'day afterwards, because obviously I've interviewed him before, done stories with him. And it turned out that the Coucher family used to let Stephen and other Indigenous people come and hunt on their land. And so Stephen never forgot it, had strong ties with the family and came to Dennis's funeral. Wonderful soul of the earth champion.
Absolutely.
And just amongst the people, which was just absolutely fantastic.
Yep, 243 games. He played a lot in succession as well. A very durable player. But although having seen the highlights, as Duff and I did on the Game Hour show on 7 last Sunday, the modern rules may not allow him to have played in the same manner, although there's a lot of players.
They say the same about a lot of players. They would have adapted. He would have adapted.
And Barry and I said the same thing. Some of his follow-up work did remind us, and does remind us, of Nick Nat in that manner of turning from ruck into a midfielder. So just a superstar.
And you didn't want to be out the other side of the stoppage when he hit the ground and took off, as Robert Wiley found out.
Yes,
one
great Rob Wiley, yes.
All right, so we're all tipping St Kilda to beat North Melbourne.
With a clip across the ear on the way through for the Saints.
West Coast versus Essendon at Optus Stadium Saturday evening. West Coast $1.24 with Tab Touch. Essendon at $4 with Tab Touch. Can you make a case for the Bombers, Glenn?
I can make a case for the Bombers. I'm not going to make a case for them. I could if I wanted to.
Well, make your hypothetical case.
Second highest scoring team in the comp. We know what's going to happen. Obviously, they're also, I think they've conceded they leak a lot. So if the game's on their terms, and I don't expect it will be, but if the game is allowed to be on their terms, then they're every chance. They've won two in a row. They're building something. But I think West Coast at home, won 14 of the last 16 there. We know how well they play up to stadium. This is not a game I expect them to drop.
Here's the outrider. And Duff pointed this out earlier this week with regards to the tools at West Coast went in with against the Giants. They simply can't go that tall on Saturday night. If the forecast is correct, it's going to be on the ground a fair bit. They're exposed against the Giants. Essendon, on their matches this year, on their good form this year, they have been good at ground level ball and being able to run the footy. Saturday night's weather, I think, is a factor here for West Coast, looking at what they put out on the park.
You know what I reckon? I reckon the weather will actually help West Coast. I think their problem's been run, and I think Essendon can run. You know, they've got Hines streaming off halfback. They've got a few wheels through the middle.
Yeah, they have.
The wet weather will slow those guys down, and West Coast will be very sure with the ball in hand for wet weather footy. They've got a lot of highly skilled players. I think they'll be able to kick it around a bit, take a bit of territory. Because McGovern's not playing, they rely less on the intercept marking at the back, and I think they will still have the potency down front to kick some goals. So I think the weather works in West Coast's favour. But this would have been a fascinating game, I reckon, if it were played in the dry, because we know Essendon can run and we know that they don't like stoppages. They like the game in motion. Mm. And had West Coast gone tall again, I reckon it would have been an interesting test to see whether, you know, I still maintain that Adelaide weren't far out of making that game interesting a couple of weeks back. And I do wonder about the balance of West Coast. Clearly Adam Simpson feels differently, but I still think West Coast are looking for that sweet spot at selection that he used to talk about in 2018. I think West Coast will win this by 3 to 4 goals, even in the wet.
Yeah, look, that's the most likely scenario. There's a little bit, not saying comparing St Kilda with Essendon, but Essendon against the teams that are middle of the park, middle of the table, they're 50-50 chance, and then against North, et cetera, they'll beat them up. West Coast at home, I don't think they're going to get any luxuries like that. I think they'll struggle. It'll be great to see the two brothers line up against each other at some stage of the night, potentially Jake and Alec Waterman. Been a long journey back to footy for Alec, so great to see him playing some AFL, and Jake is there. So it's a romantic story with Chris and Peter in the stands watching, no doubt.
And a nice piece from Braden Quatermain today on Jake saying this is more about footy, what Alec has gone through to get back onto the field. So we salute him, and it's great to see. So good luck to both of them. I hope they cross paths at some point. There's some not comedy, but there's a nice
a little push and shove or something. A little bit of humour to look back on, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of a head rub or something like that. Yeah.
So Alec used to come in here a bit and do some work experience with us when he was ill.
Okay.
Lovely young man. Just used to sit quietly near Adrian Barrett. Give Barrett a good listening to, as people have to do. And he just struck me as a wonderful young person. It was so pleasing to see him get back and play, even at waffle level, and play as well at waffle level as he did
last year, Duff, he came so close at Essendon to being let go. And from memory,
it was a four-goal
haul against Carlton that maybe pricked a few ears up. And we saw the vision of the coach, Ben Rutten, saying, look, you were almost on the plane back, but for whatever reason, we think we're going to stick with you. And it was just lovely. And that's one of the good footy stories so far.
And you know what? We said this before in the podcast, that's that adversity you have to fight your way through sometimes can be that 1% that gives you that longevity of your career ultimately. So it's a great story.
And we won't know what Alec Waterman can do until he finishes this season, hopefully gets an extension, hopefully does a full pre-season at Essendon or somewhere. Someone gives him an opportunity if Essendon do decide to let him go. And then I reckon you'll be able to see what Alec Waterman's real potential as a footballer is.
We know what he can do. He can kick the ball at goal beautifully.
Yep.
Hey, just quickly before we move on to Richmond v Adelaide, we did gloss over Hawthorn v Gold Coast, battle of the heavyweights, boys, I know, but just quickly.
Reverse blockbuster.
Just quickly, I think Hawthorn went at 29% efficiency in their forward 50 last week, took 5 contested marks in their forward 50. Gold Coast for me, wherever it's played.
Up at the goal, in Darwin it was going to be,
no, it's
it?
Not in Darwin. We no, don't so know where it's going to be Darwin. Or if it's going to be played, but we think if, they're going to find
if
a
If we're
way.
Putting selection, you're tipping Gold Coast.
Yes, I am.
I'm tipping Gold Coast, and Duff, not much care put into that selection, but yeah, they've been better of the two.
I'm tipping Gold Coast. Yep.
Okay.
Sunday. When is that game? Where is that game? I'm going to say, I've got my TabTouch app up here, and I don't have markets for Richmond v Adelaide or Gold Coast versus Hawthorn.
No, I couldn't find them either, actually. Actually, I did find a market for. No, I didn't. No, there you go.
All right.
This probably says something.
Richmond versus Adelaide. Somewhere, sometime over this weekend. Yeah,
in Sydney, we suspect.
Well, we believe there's chatter that they fly out on the kite at about 2 o'clock our time today, but we'll wait and see on that because, as we know, things can change very quickly. Richmond hopefully getting back Prestia, Cochin, Bolton versus a very plucky Adelaide. But I think this is a challenge too far for Adelaide this weekend. I'll happily pick Richmond.
Three big ins for Richmond, supposedly. Lynch out with knee surgery. A bit of a lengthy stay on the sidelines for him, so that's not great news.
4-6, yeah.
4-6. But those three names, that's where they've been lacking, haven't they, in the midfield. That's where they'll get the job done on the weekend if they play.
They can beat all but the best teams with one tall forward. They won a flag with one tall forward in 2017. You can't beat the best teams without a midfield. And they've been playing, you know, GWS should have got them when they played them without a midfield. And obviously last week was last week and Brisbane got them. But I think once they start getting those names back through the middle, then we'll see what they're capable of. But I think as you guys have pointed out, they may find themselves too far back to really mount a serious flag challenge.
And depends as well, given the news that Josh Broke through Braden Quatermain, and we spoke about earlier, it depends how long they have to stay out of Melbourne, which we know last year was no issue for them. But all these, and we saw Trent Cotchin's wife and the issues it created for her, and like it or loathe what happened there. But that's another challenge for them.
Just a little bit of an advantage too, if for the next weekend, Essendon's already here. They get to sort of, well, not acclimatise, but you get to put your feet down a little bit, get used to the place. Richmond moved all over the place this weekend, and so just another little advantage for Essendon.
I can't wait for that game if that's confirmed. I'll be there by hook or by. It is confirmed? Well, that to me. Yeah. He just pressed
Josh. Sorry, a small sparrow just flew around the studio.
With his big levers, he accidentally just pressed the wrong button there.
Searching for a bit of food that Josh brought in yet again that didn't give us any.
But one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Mm.
We're tipping Richmond.
Yeah, we're all Richmond.
All Richmond. And have we tipped on Gold Coast Hawthorn? Have we done that?
We're not
dilly-dallying over that one. No. Quarters. not like a Collingwood midfielder looking at his forward line and decided to dilly-dally with the ball.
No.
All right, Sydney versus Carlton. Sydney are at $1.45, Carlton at $2.75. This one's scheduled for Sunday, May 30 in Sydney.
Hey, Buddy says he might play on in 2022. That's what's come out today. He's spoken.
Well, a Buddy on half a tank against a very good player last week kicks six. So I'd suggest Wiedering will have his work cut out this week at the SCG. But now,
he's got a milestone. Is it 1,100 goals?
Coming up to 1,000.
1,000, sorry. 1,000. He needs 39, I think.
He'll play. Well, I think he plays next year, doesn't he? His contract takes him to the end of next year.
The contract says that, but his body is the question.
Look, I think that's probably very optimistic. But look, we're going to see him next year anyway. So
he's got some good. He's got North Melbourne, Gold Coast in the last few games. They've got a decent run, and they'll get the ball to him.
Yeah, the thing with Buddy is we know his body has been a bit banged up over the years, so you can't look too far ahead. I'd say let's just enjoy what he's producing at the moment.
Well, that was wonderful last weekend at Optus Stadium. Just the ability. He's like football's 3-point shooter, isn't he? Like, he's out beyond the arc, gets the ball inside the centre square, and you start thinking, goal.
So you're Griffin Lowe. You've done a pretty good job. He gets two from free kicks, which could have gone either way. It might have been a bit lucky. He kicks two from outside the arc, as he does. You know, you see him skid through. You're Griffin Lowe, and you're thinking, well, I've done a pretty good job here. I don't know what else I could have done. Really, he's just a freak.
I'd be ringing Tommy Barras to get some counselling because Tommy Barras had the same thing happen to him in round one 2018. And I think Adam Simpson said after that game, we left Tommy one out with him. We'd probably handle it a little bit differently if we had our time again.
And, you know, the thing is, the funny thing about Buddy is, you know, it's not often that I enjoy watching ex-Hawthorn players play for other teams. In fact, I hate it. I just don't like it. But I just love watching Buddy regardless because, you know, whatever the situation of the game, you know, there's always a chance for a bit of magic.
Yeah, the last two games between these two sides, the biggest winning margin has been 7 points. Carlton, SCG, I'm tipping Sydney because of that home ground advantage. And what I saw last week, I thought they were pretty good. In fact, the third quarter let them down. It probably cost them the game, to be honest with you. Otherwise, they get a win away from home. They're playing finals, I still believe. Carlton aren't tipping Sydney.
You believe Sydney will get there?
I think they'll still hang in there, yeah.
Mm. Okay, so do you think Richmond gets in?
Question. Well, the Giants are the one that are still – the Giants are the team I think that's they're in there, but depending on the next –
So you think Richmond in, Giants out?
That'd be what would be my call at this stage.
Yeah, I reckon there might be a couple of changes. I'm still not sold on Sydney playing finals.
So I think both Sydney teams are the most vulnerable in the – they're the most vulnerable in the eight.
Mm.
That's not saying I don't think Sydney will play. I just think they're the most vulnerable.
All right, moving right along.
We've all tipped Sydney, have we?
Yes.
Yes, we have all tipped Sydney. Oh, Wiedering gets him, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, good opponent.
Good luck.
Very good opponent. But he just finds his way, buddy. He finds
his
way.
He's like LeBron. You just think, oh, he gets the ball. Think, okay, here we go. Long range.
Doesn't need much opportunity to hurt you.
All right, Port Adelaide versus Fremantle, Sunday afternoon at Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide is $1.23 with Tab Touch. Fremantle, another $4.20. Can you make a case for the Dockers quarters?
I'll be picking Port, but I can make a case for Freo being ultra competitive all year, really.
Except for the Carlton game. And the second half of the Derby.
The Derby's the
and the first half against Brisbane.
Okay, so forget that line.
Our memories just fade over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Freo has been pretty good for the most part of the year. Look, so you can make a case for them. So we mentioned Griffin Lowe before. We expect he'll get Charlie Dixon. Port for me at home, pretty hard to go past. Just a little bit shaky the last few weeks. No Lysette, no Butters. Butters, I think, is really important to them. Just gives them a point of difference in their midfield, I think.
Yeah,
really important to them. And they've just lost their way a little bit, Port. But, I have to pick them at home.
Yeah, you're tipping Port Adelaide without even hesitation. Their best is far better than Fremantle's, in my opinion. It's been a long time since the Dockers have won over in Adelaide, full stop, against Port Adelaide. They beat Adelaide, of course, this year, but they haven't beaten Port there for a long time. I think Port's going through a little bit of a trough.
They are.
Just a tiny trough, but a good side wins those games at the MCG against Collingwood, which they did, albeit by the most slender of margins. So I'm hoping that Fremantle can really dish it up and give their opposition something to think of. But Tabiner doesn't play. We know they've got Lob in.
So Tabiner's ruled out?
Well, I'm prepared to say he won't play. That's just a given. I think Fife will get himself up with that foot concern. I just don't think they have the I don't have think they've got the weapons to hit a score.
Brayshaw back?
Brayshaw, I think so.
Thanks. But it's a calf soreness.
Yeah, actually they've pretty much declared he'll be back.
Play, they need him.
Justin Longmuir was all but declaring him the other day, wasn't he? And he's still talking about Tabiner as a 50-50.
No.
So Tabiner's got strained ligaments.
Any 50-50 duff, if someone says that in footy,
check for a pulse.
I'm saying, and they're not playing. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I think we're all on Port Adelaide. I think it'll be close, this one. I think Fremantle are ready to give a yelp. The bloke that got them on the Gold Coast when they played Port Adelaide last year was Charlie Dixon, and Charlie Dixon's not in that good a form.
No.
He's not in the nick this year that he was at that point last year.
Not jumping at the footy in the same manner, is he? He just seems to be a little bit withdrawn.
Brennan Cox gets the job there.
I think Logue got him last year, and I think they'll go with Logue. Seems to be their choice for the monsters. And the other one, of course, out for Port Adelaide, if you didn't mention, is Tommy Cleary, who's got the jaw problem. Now, he's a pretty significant out as well, which probably makes, if Tabiner's out, one way that Fremantle could have hurt them is if Rory Lobb turns up again like he did last week and you had Tabiner as well, Freo would have a bit of a two-prong tall attacking setup that might have done a bit of damage. But Alia will probably take care of Rory Lobb and keep him under close wraps, and Josh Tracy will then have a big job, I think.
We want to see a bit more from Josh. He's a kid. He's a very young player, but want to see him compete, still compete. And
I think he always competes.
Yeah, need to see him. I mean, it's a tough ask, because if Tabiner's out, that's a huge workload or huge expectations now on Lobb to replicate what he did last week.
Call some carnage out there, so then we can slap the Cyclone on the headline. Call some carnage out there.
Cyclone trade. 1974,
just
I think that was.
Run it, Mark. Don't get suspended. Do it Do it within the laws of the game.
You weren't even twinkling your parents' eyes.
And what was the song released to raise money for the damage done in Darwin?
Ooh, in 1974, Christmas Day. The song.
The name of the song.
Geez.
While you're thinking of that, I'll tell you just quickly. I was 4 years of age. My parents, my mum gave me this massive stocking, Christmas stocking.
Yes.
And she said, would you like to take out some of those toys and give to the kids in Darwin who have been badly affected by Cyclone Tracy?
And what did you say?
I said, nah, they're not getting any of them. I'm keeping them for myself.
This is karma. This is why you can't land a punt lately, mate. This is why. This comes back to haunt you.
There you go. What was the song, by the way, Doug?
Santa never made it into Darwin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tojo never made it either, according to the Hoodoo Gurus.
Yes, no, very true. All right, let's move on to the biggie juice, juicy topic of the week brought to you by Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops.
Barry White, hello.
It was all a dream.
Juicy topic of the week.
So we're heading into the Indigenous rounds of the competition this year. So I'm going to fire one at you, question without notice. Your greatest Indigenous footballer?
I just think it's, for me, it's Daylight Second, Polly.
Polly?
Let me put a caveat on this. I never saw Polly play. So it's like saying you didn't see Sir Donald Bradman play. The best Indigenous player that I've seen, I'm going to say Cable McLeod. There you go. That I've seen. Polly, yeah, it's a bit like Bradman. Haven't seen him play, but you just know he was exquisite.
I just threw a bit of – I threw a few names, just a some names on a bit of paper the other day. I had Polly, Franklin, Goods, McLeod, Cyril Rioli, Eddie Betts, Jeff Farmer, Michael O'Loughlin, Michael Long, Morris Rioli. He'd be in my top three who I've seen. Cable, Peter Matera, Gavin Wanganeen, Jim Cracker. That's without even, you know, putting much effort into it. So that's some big names
it's
there.
It's a pretty good list.
We around the mark, Duff, or not?
Yeah, look, there are so many and they're so different and they all bring such special traits to the table. I find this one almost more difficult than going, you know, greatest players, Indigenous or non-Indigenous. I'd have Franklin to me would almost have to be second to Polly. I would have Franklin, I'd have Polly 1, Franklin 2.
I'm not arguing that.
No, that's a perfectly reasonable argument.
And I love the McLeod one, you know, two Norm Smith medals. I mean, we saw those games, Skeet and Quarters.
You know what? And I'll throw in another name, just not top three, but Chris Lewis, for me, still the best final series I've seen played by an individual, which was 1990. Great player.
Yeah, his second half of the season was quite phenomenal. Peter Matera, the 1992 final series, to me, Matera, and Quarters, probably not a fond memory for you, but the duel between Darren Pritchard and Peter Matera in the 1992 elimination final at Subiaco Oval, I still rate that as one of the probably two or three best club matches I've ever seen. And when Matera got over the top of Pritchard in the last quarter, that basically created the opportunity.
Is that the day Carl started kicking them from everywhere?
Carl kicked one from
out of his bottom. He kicked one out of his bottom and still says, "Oh no, I nailed it."
So just going back to the list there, and we've mentioned this gentleman earlier in the podcast. Yeah. Given he didn't play in the VFL, where does Stephen Michael sit in the equation?
I'd have him top.
10?
I'd have him top 10.
Yep.
I'm not sure I could get him into the top five. The top five's a pretty special place in this list of players.
Yeah, Billy Dempsey in a list too somewhere, wouldn't you? And there's a lot of great West Australian Indigenous players. Obviously.
Billy Dempsey was a great, great player and not a fond memory for me because my first Waffle Grand Final
75.
Was 75. And Bill Dempsey and Mel Winnan and Barry Day ripped my team to shreds. That was actually Stephen Michael's first year in Waffle football
well. Barry Day, 7 goals in the last quarter, if you don't mind.
But 7 in the last quarter?
Yeah, it's just like a party. Those names are just, and this weekend, hopefully, albeit, it's sad, isn't it? We won't have the crowds, particularly in Victoria.
It is a pity.
To celebrate what they've brought to the game and continue to do so.
Yep. Nicky Winmar.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Burgoyne.
Yeah.
Sean Burgoyne's career.
Winmar and Burgoyne out of that. Yeah, exactly.
You know, great, great players. And there were other players that were just as watchable as well that didn't consistently reach those heights. Benny Vagona played for South Fremantle in the late 70s, early 80s. And he kicked 7 goals in half a game against Claremont one day. He went to have a shower at halftime. And basically the coach said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I've already done my work." You finish it off. But in the course of that game, he was running away from goal and he sold a dummy. He sold a bit of candy to someone and basically they took the bait and then he snapped the goal off his left foot, which is his non-preferred, over his right shoulder. It was one of the great goals of that season. And it became part of the run into one of the footy shows in Western Australia, and every time they showed it, I still thought he was going the other way. I watched it every week for a year, and I still thought he was going the other way that he went to.
And to show you the depth that we've spoken of these names, haven't said Adam Goods once.
Yes, we have. I mentioned him earlier.
Oh, sorry.
Jeff Farmer, the Wiz, is another one. I
mean, good.
Michael Walters, bounce a case somewhere back at the back end of that list now. He's getting a pretty good portfolio together.
Yeah, absolutely. You could do a very good top 50 out of the Indigenous players to have played.
Oh, yeah. Have you done the Indigenous team?
Well, they did it in 1995, I think. It was a fair way back. So you would expect there'd be a couple of inclusions there, Lance Franklin clearly being one of them. He's obviously in that
fair side.
So it'll be really interesting to redo that.
I think Stephen Michael was centre-half forward in that team, so I think he might lose his spot to Bubby.
Billy Dempsey had a Guernsey.
Yeah, I think
he
did. Yep.
Polly was obviously first ruck, and he would remain first ruck.
Not a bad ruck with Cable probably as your first rover.
Yep. Cable was coach too, I think, of that team.
McLeod. I think it was a bit later than 95.
Oh, was it?
Because McLeod was in it.
So maybe it was 2005.
It was the team of the century, the Indigenous team of the century. So I think they were all awestruck at being on the stage with Polly Farmer, the great Polly Farmer. That tells you the sort of reverence that Polly was held in by the Indigenous community.
Well, I think if you look at the all great players made a massive contribution, but you can add the extra for Polly in that he's changed the way the game was played. So I think that's what stands him above.
All right, let's move on to everybody's favourite segment.
Hello, Newman.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Hey, guys. Firstly, apologies. It isn't confirmed yet, but it is
Okay.
Up there. So,
we were up and about there.
It's
all but confirmed, all right? It's dubious yet.
Confirmed.
Yeah. Yeah. All but confirmed in the time of a pandemic. Makes me nervous.
Yes, but it would be absolutely fantastic. I'd get along. You know what? The GWS Richmond game a couple of rounds ago had 18,000 fans. We could have, I dare say we'd almost more than double that if it was Richmond.
Why not?
If we get Saturday night, which I'm assuming it will be, Dreamtime match and the weather's not like it's going to be this Saturday night, surely we get 35,000, 40,000.
Surely. Right? I'm saying 40 plus. The good supporter base is here. Saturday night. Doesn't clash with the Eagles or Dockers.
No.
I absolutely think 40 plus.
I'll get there by hook. We might just have a catch-up pre or post, depending on how
I'll be working, Skeet. So let's just say maybe a late-night catch-up.
So, guys, I just thought about it. Dreamtime at the P. Get around it. So,
yeah.
Oh, thanks for clapping.
Okay. trying to get my head around it.
He's too clever for us, Josh, I'm telling you.
Straight into it now. Guys, our man in the Cayman Islands.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
So you get to. There we go.
So he's back.
What is that? A 727 or is it a?
It's an Airbus A380. Anyway, he's back. He actually has some relevance here and a funny little anecdote at the end. A belated welcome back to the show, Duff, all the way from the Cayman Islands. Skeet, you've been an invaluable addition. However, Duff, I think you would have him covered in a 1-on-1 goal square matchup. The Eagles once again look soft on the weekend. They are dead last in the comp in pressure and tackles. Why do you think this is? Are they just all skilled footballers with the ball in their hands and don't want to get their hands dirty in the defensive side of the game? Or is there something in Simo's game plan? P.S. Fun fact about Simo. In 2018, he offered to let me stay in his apartment when we were living in the same complex in Churchlands, and my apartment was flooded by sewerage from a burst pipe. I said yes straight away, which Simo wasn't expecting, and I believe he then changed his mind. Anyway, thanks, Simo.
You know
what he said underneath his – he said, with the sewerage, he went, anyway.
You know, I think that they can get better at it, but I think that's the Eagles' game. It is controlling the footy. So you're always going to be a bit lopsided when it comes to that contested possession. So they're always going to look a bit worse than it is.
Can you win but against the best teams this year? And we know that you look at the champion data, their numbers are horrendous.
But it can't be as off as it is. You can win on the negative side of it as they have in the past, but it can't be as lopsided as it is.
All these barometers are not good, Duff.
They're not, but I do think they measure themselves differently. And I also think we look at the stats and we go, that doesn't look good. But I think West Coast look at it and they look at fuel used during the course of the season. They believe they use less because they play a cleaner, more efficient game of footy. And then they can lift the pressure rating when the occasions get really big at the end of the year. But of course, every now and again, they go out too relaxed, like they did against Hawthorn in round 23 of 2019, and they drop one, and that's hurt them. I mean, in a few years' time, unless West Coast get back and really contend again, we're going to look at this era and we're going to ask, how did a team that was good enough to win a grand final and not lose a game in Victoria in that year, how did they make one preliminary final in a 6-year stretch of contention? I think that's, you know, they've got a bit to do, this group. Otherwise, I reckon they're selling their legacy a little bit short. And I don't believe it's about pressure and hard work. I believe it's about run. And we've talked about this earlier in the week. I think they're too tall. And I think if they can bring some working smaller players in, I think they'll get a better outcome. That's my take on it.
Shuey, Yo, you can't discount the fact they haven't played essentially any footy this season. And we won't be sure if they give their absolute premium when they get back. But put those two players back in the midfield, touch wood. There's a good upside for West Coast. I know I've said all the numbers are not great, but they're inside the eight. They will win most of their games at home. They need to tidy up their away form. But I would be loath to say that they can't cause some damage late in the season.
They can. They cannot afford to drop a home game. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, they're leaving themselves without wriggle room. That is for sure. I think this is a team balance issue at the moment, and I think they haven't got it quite right yet. And the other factor that may come into play in finals, if they don't add a suspension onto, is Willy Rioli. I mean, let's not rule him out. They're going to have 2 months to get Willy Rioli right. Incidentally, you talked about Elliot Yeo. Great column in the West Australian today by Paul Hazelby about his battle with osteitis pubis.
Just quickly, and we talked about the Essendon-Richmond game transferred here. Carlton are due to host the Eagles next week in Melbourne, from my reckoning. Does that then throw that into, in terms of team?
Well, we'll wait and see. Could be a hub.
Possibly Carlton coming over here. There's a lot of permutation still on the table.
Yeah, it's constant backtrack as they work through the fixture, and the agile movement will be key. So thanks, guys. Staying with footy now. Thank you, Cordis. Guys, Ewan Tipperty from Aberdeen, currently residing in Les Murdy.
Tipperty. Les Murdy.
Oh, sorry.
Tipperty. Nickname would have to be Toes, wouldn't it?
Potentially. Why, when building expansion clubs, did the AFL ignore Northern Territory and Tassie? I guess that both NT and Tassie have a passion for footy and the AFL want a foothold on the non-AFL territory, Gold Coast and Sydney, or is the real reason that neither Tassie or Darwin have the support, could support a single team? So I've thought, and so I have a thought, could both Northern Territory and Tassie share a team? And the club be based in Melbourne because, let's be truthful, it was a particular type of person that would want to live in Tassie or NT. So I propose that the North drop the North Melbourne title and become simply Kangaroos and split their home games between Tassie, early season, good weather, and Northern Territory, early morning, winter, dry season. This will bring meaningful games to both locations and not just token gesture Hawks v Freo or similar.
So North Melbourne did become the Kangas for a while. I think it was in the late 1990s. And the feeling was that they might be eyeing a push into Sydney. They started playing home games in the Sydney market. And then probably the AFL was then looking at a second team in Sydney and testing the market as well. Didn't really work. I think the AFL wants to grow the game. And so therefore the correspondent basically hit it on the head that they want a stronger toehold in those non-football states. But if you want to mount the philosophically moral case for teams in Tasmania and Northern Territory, they have a stronger case than either Gold Coast or Greater Western Sydney.
For standalones. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think the Northern Territory economically probably is going to have the backing to get across the line. The question is Tasmania.
They're not going to embrace a wish-wash. They need a full team. Tasmania.
Oh, Tasmania's the only team.
Want to embrace a standalone team. I think they can. Timing probably not right now, but I think they've projected it's going to be a few years away, but they've at least said they're looking at it. They need to. I think they can support a team.
They need to hold their
Northern Territory. I think you can probably get away with playing some games up there at the moment. I'm not sure if it's the infrastructure's there.
The financial state of the game at the moment, given COVID and what the league is losing, and those numbers are coming out by the week, is that I think Tassie will just have to be put on the back burner. But I think they have got legitimate claims and they want their own team, as you said, Quarters, to try and build some sense of tribalism, et cetera, opposed to a dump team from Melbourne.
But we need to see the numbers from Tassie. It's not just, don't give us hyperbole. We need numbers. Show us how you can support it. Don't just say we can. Then we'll be confident.
Thank you very much for that, guys. Bit of insight. I have always wondered that. But I was speaking to Eliza Riley, our recent addition to the West here at the West Australian, and she came from the Gold Coast, and she was saying the amount of work that the Gold Coast Suns have done in grassroots footy in that region is absolutely ridiculous. And that they, in just the time she was there, she saw a massive change.
And by the way, I do take a little bit of objection to them saying you couldn't live in Tassie. Great place.
Love Tassie.
Great place to live.
The other thing about Queensland is women's football in Queensland is absolutely booming. Mm. It's the fastest area of growth of the sport anywhere in Australia.
Interesting. Thank you very much for that. Guys, fantastic emails this week. Very nuanced takes. Ryan from Mount Hawthorne, that's just local. Hi, Duff and Cordis.
Jeez, his finger was poised. He wanted to press that jet aeroplane button, didn't he? Very disappointing.
It's my dopamine hit for Tuesday, Thursday. Would love to hear your thoughts about the 2017 redraft. On Tuesday, you mentioned that Starcevic would probably make the top five with the number of gems down the order. What does your top 10 look like? I thought the Dockers missed a trick when they didn't take Norton with pick five, but it's all academic now, isn't it? I'll just get up the list right now.
That would certainly help us from 4 years ago.
Well, we're up three old timers and we love our footy.
You call yourself an expert, Skate.
No, I don't call myself an expert, but I'm happy to use that title to get me from A to B.
Here it is here.
So it's Rayner, Andy Brayshaw, Paddy Dow, Luke Davies-Uniac, Adam Chera, Jaden Stevenson, I believe. I'm not sure who's seven. I think Aaron Norton was eight, was he?
So Hunter Clark, seven. Nick Caulfield, eight. Aaron Norton, nine. Lockie O'Brien, Carlton, 10. And you've got a bit further down, Oscar Rowland, 21.
Where was Brandon Starcevic?
Oh, he's 20.
18.
Zach Bailey 18. In the 10.
Brandon Starcevic, 18.
So you'd have to think Bailey and Starcevic are both in the 10. I would still have the two Frio boys in the 10. Aaron Norton definitely in the 10, Oscar Allen in the top five, maybe even at the top of the tree.
So you had Tim Kelly at 24.
And Liam Ryan.
As a mature age. And Liam Ryan at 26.
Well, let's set them apart because they are in a slightly different bracket.
Yep.
And, you know, if you look at them, they could have gone anywhere in that draft, but they are mature age talent. I wouldn't say that Fremantle definitely got the talent identification badly wrong, but maybe key position players have a premium, Norton. So therefore Norton and Oscar Allen go up the order. And Starcevic, well, he's just been an absolute gem.
So
all Peter Australian. Sivich always said he was as good as Cam Rayner.
Yeah, and he'd be all Australian right now with the jobs he's doing every week on good players.
Aaron Norton missed a grand final for Peel because Ross Lyon wanted to play Zach Dawson. Is that
correct?
The right story?
And Zach Dawson lasted about 2 minutes. And let's just say there's residue disappointment about that.
From Aaron's
side
of the equation?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there was a question. Fremantle were concerned. So when I say Fremantle, let's not mince words. I mean Ross Lyon. Concerns over his kicking. Did not think he could kick, so therefore did not think he was top 10 pick.
And Duff.
And there are people in the WA footy system who tried to convince him otherwise. One of them would be Peter Sumich.
It's probably better that you keep me away from the microphone at this point in time.
Anyway, we move on, Josh.
That's it. That's all we've got time for today. It's been a very long pod, but I tell you what, gangbuster, or blockbuster rather, pod.
And breaking news as well. We watched you eat your lunch as well. It's been fantastic.
We watched him eat his lunch, a couple of those nice rolls. Perhaps next week we live in hope that we might be getting some food. We're not sure.
And Dreamtime coming to WA. Yes. Seriously, that is the best news, footy news I've heard for a long, long time.
Dreamtime at the
P. Get around it.
Oh, that's just
Western Australia.
Let's show the rest of Australia what the grand final would have been like here.
Yep, get around it. Absolutely get around it. I love that. And I think we can put on a show with our stadium that they cannot match.
Tailor-made for our stadium, this.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope we've tipped you a winner. We hope we've told you about the right games because that could change by the time the podcast comes out. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly. Please call the Gamblers Helpline on 1800 858 858 if you have any difficulties. We'll be back on Tuesday, COVID permitting, to talk you through the round of matches and try and find a way forward, being flexible and agile in the 2021 AFL season.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you send a message to Josh's mailbag? Have you figured out how to fix footy? Are you trying to settle a debate with a mate? Or maybe you just want two of Australia's most experienced footy journalists to turn their attention to an AFL issue of the week. Send to the mailbag at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. And also remember to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates so we can make this as big and as good as possible. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.